Thank you, Philip. It is indeed an honor for me to join my wife of 43 years, Rosa, former superintendent of schools here in Cincinnati, to welcome this gathering of the Philadelphia Society. Welcome you to a city that is affectionately called the Queen City of the Midwest. We've been called other things by other folks. Mark Twain, that great literary giant, after his seventh visit, was on a train ride out of the city, and he was asked by a young reporter, Victoria, from Louisville, what his impression was of the Queen City of the Midwest. And he said, "Son, if I heard the world was ending tomorrow, I would get to Cincinnati as fast as I could, because things happened there 10 years after they happened in the rest of the world." Now, we get our conservatism genuinely, and let me just say that my dad was so conservative that he prohibited premarital sex because he thought it might lead to slow dancing. So, and I was mayor after Jerry Springer, which only goes to prove that sometimes the sublime follows the ridiculous. So, I want to just steal this moment to say that this is also the birthplace of my great uncle. His name was D. Hart Hubbard. He was the first African American to win an Olympic gold medal in an individual event. He did so in the 1924 Paris Games. He was scheduled to run against Eric Little. They had a transatlantic debate as to who was the fastest human being on the face of the earth, and they were going to settle it in Paris. When he got to Paris, the International Olympic Committee told him that the 100-yard dash and the high hurdles, which he had qualified to run, were white-only events, and so he didn't get to run. When he came back, having graduated from the University of Michigan in the top 10% of his class, the only job that he could get was as a playground director, but he made the most of that. But he taught my mother's generation something that he had learned in those games, because he knew that Eric Little chose not to run in the final because the finals fell on the Sabbath. And so he said that the greatest lesson that God had taught him was consistent with what the great philosopher Anicius Bothias used to say, is that sometimes God writes straight with crooked lines, and he puts us in situations to teach us a lesson, and that Eric Little's fidelity to faith was a watchword that should in fact be consistent with our family. And so I asked you tonight to appreciate the fact that American exceptionalism is not accidental. It is the result of some deliberate and fragile choices that we have made. And that art and architecture are art forms that are not necessary just to create new patterns, new ways of looking at the world. But they are also opportunities to celebrate tradition and to celebrate the magnificence of those things that are consistent with God's design. And so I ask you to bow your heads as we bless the food that we're about to partake, and ask God's blessing on the meetings that we will have as we go forth. We ask, O Father, that we remember that you have posed to us through your scriptures a very, very profound question found in Psalms 11, verse 3, which simply reads, "If the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do?" We hope that the answer to that question is that those of us who understand your design, that understand we are fashioned in your image, and understand that we have the chance to not only live in accordance with your word, but your word gives us a chance to be born again anew. We ask that you guide us in our deliberations, our fellowship, our discussions, to not only support those things which create anew, but those things that help us celebrate those enduring values found in your word. We pray this prayer in the name of your Son, our Christ, Jesus. Amen.